Well, good evening. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. We need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we'll welcome your calls from out across America at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And that's actually the number to call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. The other is a number you call if you want to get in touch with us, but 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have this on the line, Pastor Chuck Baldwin, who has a church down there in Pensacola, Florida, and he is a minister of the gospel. He's also a prolific writer, and you can read his essays regularly at newswithviews.com. That's newswithviews.com, which, of course, is put up by our good friend Paul Walter, and where they have some 15 million hits a day. That's over half a million hits a month regularly. Half a million hits every single day, 15 million hits a month, half a million hits a day. That's a lot of information going out. But Pastor Baldwin is trying to get ministers across the country to accept their responsibility as Christians and as citizens to try to educate the American people about what's happening from a political point of view so that we can begin having an impact on society. And certainly we all feel very, very strongly about the issue of abortion and traditional family values, but if that's all you talk about, and then of course you blindly follow what the Republican Party is doing as far as the war, as far as the biggest spending administration in all history, the biggest deficits in all history, the biggest trade deficits in all history, and you just back them because they're pro-life, or they say they're pro-life, and yet, of course, with all their rhetoric, they still haven't saved any babies at all. And you have to ask yourself why, after being in office over 4 years, why nothing has really happened. Oh, we got through the partial birth abortion bill, but that really didn't do anything at all as far as saving any human lives. They just abort them earlier. Go ahead, Chuck. Thank you so much for being with us this evening.
Well, thank you again, Dr. Stan, for allowing me to be on your show.
Well, I get started talking, and so you got to start to interrupt me. Anyway, of course, you've done Chuck Talk Radio for many years. Chuck had his own program for a number of years, but he gave this up because I think he could do more good with writing and organizing. And so tell us your perception of what's going on in America today and why ministers should be involved.
Yes, well, my perspective is the same as yours, and obviously ministers did not give up their American citizenship when they were ordained to the gospel ministry, and that's the impression that some seem to have. It seems like they have the idea that once they're a minister that they're no longer able to speak on the issues, and that just is not true. First of all, the Bible is very clear about our responsibility as ministers of the gospel to proclaim God's truth, and secondly, as a citizen, we still have the freedom of speech, and we did not surrender that one bit. So, both from a citizenship point of view and from a pastoral point of view, we have an obligation to lead our people into the knowledge of the truth.
Chuck, certainly want to go ahead and address that issue of about the Romans 13 when we get back here. So why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit more. You're really trying to organize ministers out across America, aren't you?
Well, we're trying to organize, we're trying to inform them and inspire them to get involved in their pulpits and in their communities, to speak the truth as they know it, and not to be afraid or intimidated by anything or anyone in that regard, whether it be their own church members or the influence of the community or people that would use the 501c3 organizational status or whatever the excuse might be, to recognize that first and foremost they are the servants of God. And more than that, they have the responsibility of speaking the Word of God without fear or favor. And I just think that the ministers hold the key to the future of our country, and if we do not see an energized pulpit, I do not think we're going to salvage this republic.
And I agree with you totally. I believe that, of course, the reason that we have a republic at all is because of the great awakening that occurred back there in 1740, led by Jonathan Edwards and John Wesley, and the people returning back to God. And was that the spiritual awakening that was started by Jonathan Edwards and Wesley, but then picked up by the ministers, so that when it came to discussing this idea of freedom, why, the ministers were out in the front saying, Christianity makes us free, not only before God, but before government at all, and government should not be oppressing the people.
Oh, absolutely. Without the inspiration and the leadership of the clergymen of that period, there is no question we would have never even begun to fight the war for independence, much less prevail. Without their assistance, the effort for freedom would have stymied from the very beginning. The Black Regiment, as it was called back in those days because of the black robes they wore, the ministers, many of whom did not serve but led through their preaching and teaching, and many of whom actually served in the colonial army, were the impetus for the revolutionary experience. And, you know, we have to have that again today. I think it's because of a lack of that courage that we are faltering as a ship, so to speak, without a rudder. We just don't seem to have any direction, and it's because the preachers are not providing that direction.
Hold that thought for just a moment here. Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Pastor Chuck Baldwin, we're talking about the minister's responsibility for what's going on in society. And we're pointing out that really what really was the impetus for the American Revolution in 1775 was the influence of the ministers. And basically, America had become a totally corrupt society in the 1730s. And by 1740, why, there was a real serious question whether our government, our colonies, would survive. And then came Jonathan Edwards and John Wesley, and they led the first Great Awakening. And out of that came a group of determined ministers who not only talked about God, our obligation to God, but also talked about this concept of freedom under Christ, and that the tyranny that was being imposed by the King George III had to be opposed. Men, you know, really had to be opposed to tyranny. What was the old saying? Opposition to tyranny is loyalty to God, something of that sort.
Yeah, Ben Franklin said, rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God.
And so then came the American Revolution, and this wonderful experiment, not in democracy, as President Bush would have us believe, but in establishing a limited centralized government, a republic, and certainly not a democracy. So then, of course, we got in the situation we are today, and because I personally believe our seminaries were infiltrated 50 or 60 or 70 years ago by those who would establish a world government. But one of the real problems we have today is the preaching and the interpretation of Romans 13. And then Hitler's Germany, why they neutralized the church there using Romans 13. Anybody who hasn't read Erwin Lutzer's wonderful book, Hitler's Cross, needs to get that. We do carry the book, pointing out how they used Romans 13 to neutralize the church. It's being used today. It's like deja vu all over again. Why don't you certainly discuss, would you mind discussing Romans 13? Because I think it's so important for our listeners to understand. Maybe some of them don't even know what Romans 13 says. Sure. If they're not really deeply involved in the scriptures, could you explain what it says and how it used to be interpreted and how it's interpreted now?
Sure. Romans 13 basically says that Christians are instructed to be obedient to the powers that be. It says that the powers that be, meaning civil government or any government for that matter, is ordained of God. And it is the duty of all Christians to obey lawful authority. We are not to be renegades. We're not to be anarchists. We are not without the rule of law. Indeed, law is of God. God is said in Scripture to be the lawgiver. So law comes from God. All law stems from the authority of God. And all human government, therefore, stems from the authority of God. So as Christians, we are to be obedient to those that are in authority over us. But that Scripture goes on to say that government itself has a responsibility to God. In other words, that government is not God. They do not have the right to become their own authority, but rather they are an authority under God. And see, that, I think, is where the mistake comes in. We have a humanistic worldview today, Dr. Stan, that says man is his own God. Well, if man is his own God, then he sets his own authority, and there's no one that can challenge that. But man is not his own God. Man is subservient to the will of God. God is the lawgiver, and therefore all just law must come from him. And so it says in that same passage then that government is not a terror to good works, but to evil, and that government is there for the purpose of rewarding righteousness or goodness and punishing evil and wickedness. And so it gives to government a framework with which to operate. In other words, not only is there authority, but there's responsibility. There's no person in a position of authority that is a king unto himself, whether he's a father, whether he's a pastor, a businessman, a politician, a policeman, a judge, no matter what his walk in life, we are all accountable to an overriding law of God over our jurisdiction, and therefore we don't have the right to govern outside of that jurisdiction. And so there's a jurisdiction that is placed there in Romans 13 that says to government, okay, here are your boundaries. You are there to protect the good and to punish the bad. But what happens when government inverts that? What happens when government becomes its own authority and begins to punish the good and protect the bad? Well, in that case, then government has begun to vault itself as God, to work outside the lawful framework that God himself has created for government. And in that case, there's no obligation for any Christian to obey such a government. In fact, throughout both Testaments, you find examples of that. I mean, look at the story of Daniel in the lion's den. What did he do? He defied government. Look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What did they do? They defied government. Look at John the Baptist. What did he do? He defied government. What did Peter and the apostles do? They defied government. I mean, from both Testaments, we find the example of this defiance of unlawful, ungodly, unjust government. And so our founding fathers understood that. I mean, they were grounded in natural law. They were grounded in common law, which formed the basis of our Constitution. Many people today don't realize, Dr. Stan, that our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, our Declaration of Independence, is nothing more than an application of common law or natural law, which is founded, of course, upon the Scriptures. And you can read the writings of Blackstone and so many others that go into that. But as a result of that, our founding fathers said, well, we will not, we dare not, we must not, as Christians, submit to the rule of tyranny, because that's outside the framework of God's established order. And they recognized where freedom was bounded and where tyranny began. And so all of that theological as well as political understanding was the motivation for the Revolutionary War, and our history is filled with that. And I think today, as we have a misapplication, it seems to be that Christians and preachers today are saying, well, we're supposed to obey government no matter what, whether or not they are within the framework of godly government or not, whether or not they are willing to submit themselves to the authority of God, whether or not they are abrogating their own responsibility, that never seems to come into the question. It's just submit to government no matter what. Well, if that's our philosophy, then God is not the lawgiver, and we do not have a rule of law. What we have then is a dictatorship, the rule of men, and man has become his own God. So that, in a nutshell, is basically the difference in how far we've gone toward a wrong understanding.
And I agree with you totally. I certainly, Christ defied the law when he went into the temple and started turning over the tables and using a whip
sure.
to flog the money lenders there, the people who were actually selling the animals for sacrifice. But let me play the devil's advocate and let me point out the argument that I've heard against your interpretation, which I tend to agree with. But they're going to say, but look, when Paul was writing this, he was writing to the Romans, and Rome at that time was a corrupt society. Was there anything more corrupt than the various people who were in power? I've forgotten whether Nero was in power at that time. But
right.
all of these people were corrupt, and Paul is saying, even though they are corrupt, even though that there's tremendous, was a cult influence in ancient Rome at that time, why Paul is saying to the Romans, you are to submit to the government, because that government was installed by God. That is the interpretation that so many ministers use today to justify their inaction. So how would you respond to that?
Well, for example, one of the laws that the Roman government had at that time was that abortion was legal, as was infanticide. In fact, infanticide was a little bit more common than even abortion. Church history says that during the first century Rome, when Paul wrote, that it was very common to go out into the streets and the villages and the alleys of the city and find little infants that had been abandoned by their parents, just thrown out with the garbage, so to speak, and left to die. And this was such a repugnant thing to the Christians, who have such a valued appreciation of life. And by the way, the law protected the parents in doing this, and it was even against the law to go out and save the babies. They were considered useless to society, and the law protected the parents that would give them over to a very, very horrible death, very similar to what they're trying to do to Terry Schiavo, by the way. But the Christians they openly defied that. They went out into the streets and the villages and the lanes of their towns, and they would find these babies. They would take them into their homes and they would raise them. They would risk jail and imprisonment to do this. And it's interesting that by doing this, they were able to raise a generation of Christians. These little boys and girls became raised in Christian homes, and they became Christians, and they became dynamic witnesses for Christ. And it was interesting that some of the historians believe that because of the way that they were able to save so many hundreds and thousands of these little babies that became Christians in the empire, that had a great effect in helping to actually bring about the fall of the Roman Empire through the preaching of the gospel and the influence of the Christian church within the kingdom at the time. That's just one example of how Christians defied the law of Rome, did not submit to Nero, to the Caesar at the time, and did what they knew in their hearts was the right thing to do. And, of course, the Apostle Paul himself was executed by Nero. He was beheaded because of his preaching of the gospel after he was instructed to stop. So even in those examples, you find the case where people who were devoutly committed to Christ were willing to disobey civil authority in order to please God.
And I really think that is what it's all about. I think that there is a conscious effort today to use Romans 13 to neutralize the church. And I think, of course, the people who preach this gospel, they can take one or two phrases out of the gospel to build a whole concept of Christianity on. But unfortunately, I think what we see reflected in that, the progressive moral decay of our society, and it's happening because the Christians are not involved. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Pastor Chuck Baldwin. We're talking about the minister's responsibility in the society we live in. And really, as Pastor Baldwin has said, the reason we're in so much trouble today is because Christians are not accepting the responsibility as citizens of this country, because we're citizens of this country. We are Christians. We're citizens of God's kingdom. But of course, if we're not involved, why should we be at all surprised that they would take God out of our schools and prayer out of our schools and the Ten Commandments out of certainly public institutions? Should we be surprised that our children are confused and turning their back on God? And of course, this is a direct result, in my estimation, of the refusal of the ministers of this country to accept the responsibility that God has given to them. What do you think?
Oh, I think you're exactly right. And I really believe that it is the duty of the pastors and the ministers to be the beacon of hope and liberty to people throughout this country. And we were. I say we preachers. We were until, I think, maybe started back in the 60s, and it's just escalated to the point now that most pastors are, I hate to say it, but for whatever reason, they're not up front in leading the people in the ways of God and righteousness, in the ways of liberty and peace. And as a result, our people are like sheep without a shepherd. They really don't have direction. And you can see it everywhere you go. I mean, it's prosperity theology, it's entertainment evangelism, it's big buildings and budgets and entertainment recreation, and you know, we've got all these programs and everything. But where's the truth? Where is the hard reality of the Bible? Where are the preachers standing up like trumpets, which is what God said to Jeremiah, lift up your voice like a trumpet. And that gives us clear, bold, forceful sound, and there's no mistaking the sound of the trumpet. And yet, you know, I think most of the preachers today, they sound like harmonicas or something. there's no clear, not to insult the harmonica players, but there's just something, that clear, bold stand in the pulpit and in the community. And as a result, we're a very confused and aimless society today.
Well, you know, I think that a few ministers that do have television ministries who are very outspoken. And, of course, it's amazing. I think that so many people are just looking for, you know, for leadership, that they rally behind these ministers who talk about patriotism. Because I think most Americans are patriotic.
Sure.
And they talk against abortion, and I think that that is wonderful. And they talk about the Christian history of our country, and I think that's so important. And then the next thing we know, they're backing the war in Iraq, and they're backing everything the administration is doing, and their people are sort of blindly going along because they agree with them on some issues, and that they don't see that we are involved in an immoral war. There is no justification for America to be attacking Iraq simply because we thought they might have some weapons of mass destruction, which the president's father had given to Saddam Hussein. He knew very well that under George W. Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, why they had sold Saddam the biological and chemical weapons, and suddenly we're going to have to go to war because the president's father that sold those weapons. Shouldn't he be held responsible if Saddam Hussein is evil? Isn't the man who sold him the weapons equally evil? We're going to be back here in just a moment with Pastor Chuck Baldwin to explore what's going on today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Pastor Chuck Baldwin. And if you're out there in the listening audience and you'd like to participate in our conversation, because we simply are discussing the issues, what's unfolding today, from a Christian perspective, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to go to the hospital. Thank you. 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 Thank you.